Bless him. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 396, stanzas 3 and 4. The Lord is right in all his ways, his works his love declare, and he is nigh to every one that breathes the trustful prayer. 3 and 4 of Psalter 396.
To read out of God's holy and precious word this afternoon from Ephesians 3. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, when shall thy church be able to comprehend the length and the breadth and the depth of the height of that which thou hast accomplished for them that cannot be in this time, but it will be in the time to come for thy people? Oh, could it be a little bit of that length and breadth and depth and height, and maybe shown unto thy church, that love of Christ might dwell in us abundantly? Oh, that we might know that love, and that we might be rooted and grounded in that love, and that we might know the love of Christ with which passeth all knowledge in this world. O Lord, those are the riches that thou dost give unto thy church, for thou hast expanded them infinitely on every side, so that there is no end unto them. O, what is laid away for thy people in that great eternity, those that may come to love thee in truth and in uprightness. Lord, we have heard it out of this little precious portion of thy holy book, which thou hast written with the hands of thy apostle. Thou hast written it by the hand of the apostle Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Oh, how many treasures have come out of the prisons in this world. How many of the treasures, the greatest treasures of this world, have gone through the fire and been refined as silver is refined and tried as the gold. O thou thyself, having come into this world to suffer and to die and to give thyself, and never to turn away backwards, but to set thy face steadfastly towards Jerusalem. O Lord, thou who wast faithful in all that work, and who hast been given that blessed place at the right hand of thy Father, we beseech thee now for thy church that is here below, that is still in that church militant, and that still must fight with sin and Satan and devil, all that lies within them from day to day. Oh, that thou mayest teach their hands to war and their fingers to fight, and that they may never give up in that struggle, and that thou thyself may be on their right and on their left hand to show them that that victory is accomplished in and through thy dear and only begotten Son, and that they have no reason to fear or to be discouraged. Oh, that they may be given in this afternoon hour to look upon him for a moment by a true and a living faith. Oh, that their hearts may be strengthened within that warfare here below, and that they may be given to rejoice in thee even as thy disciples in the day of thy ascension. Lord, that that true and living faith in the life of those that have to suffer tribulation in this life may be alive and well by the power of thy Spirit, that thy children may receive that knowledge of thee more and more, that they may be given also by times in all their sorrows and in all their afflictions and in all their trials, yet to speak of thy name and who that thou art for a poor and a wretched and a miserable and a guilty and an unworthy creature. Oh, that thou mayest give that more and may be born in that church, in the midst of us also, that thou wouldest work with thy power, and that thou mayest give that life which we cannot give unto ourselves, for we can bring ourselves under thy holy word, and we can read that word, and we can bend our knees, but we cannot grant ourselves a true conversion. O Lord, that is the work of thy most powerful and most holy Spirit. We beseech it of thee in the days in which that we are living with our children. Wilt thou look upon those that are in this day under great afflictions in this world, for thy beloved, for the Father's sake, O Lord, then also above that holy city of old are flying the fires of men in this world. And thou knowest that that people, they are still trying to defend Jerusalem of old. Lord, that thou mayest give them light, and that thou mayest give them understanding, that thou mayest show unto them their error, and that they may see their great mistake, and that they may be given to bow before the King of Kings, and that thou wouldest protect them also in this time, and that thou wouldest watch over them, because there are so many in this world nations and peoples, whether saying so or not, that would have them destroyed from the face of this world. And yet that we may believe that thou still hast a favor to show unto them, or that thou mayest work with might and power amongst that people. And wilt thou give that under these afflictions, under these trials, they may be brought unto that true light. And the Palestinian people also, Lord, oh, thou knowest who are the wicked ones. Lord, wilt thou reward those according unto their works, because thou knowest the destruction that they are bringing upon others. And yet there are also so many that do suffer needlessly. Oh, that thou mayest watch over them in those lands. And wilt thou care for the children and the wives and all the loved ones that are there. Oh, that thou mayest teach us also the great privilege that we may have in days of prosperity in lands of freedom. Oh, that thou mayest bring us on our knees before thee in the dust of self-abasement. And that thou mayest give us that when such days would come also in our own lives, and that we might receive the strength to stand for thee and for thy truth. Wilt thou keep us from all error? Remember us this day, this afternoon hour. Care for all that are in their homes in this hour. Wilt thou bless thy word? Give attention. Give thy spirit. And wilt thou be a little sanctuary unto them? And that thou mayest be so unto us also here in thy house of prayer. O Lord, look thou upon us. Remember those that are sick and afflicted in the times in which we live. Care for each one, especially those that are in the hospital, those that are in intensive care. Give doctors and nurses wisdom, strength, and courage. Give our rulers that wisdom that they stand in need of to make difficult decisions. Oh, give us as citizens in this time to obey and to follow what they do, what they do demand of us, and that thou mayest give us all that bowing before thee under these circumstances and judgments which come from thy hand. Lord, give us a true repentance that our hearts might mourn for our own sin, each one of us. For thou knowest that they bring us not in the right place, neither high nor low, great nor small, except that thou dost bring us there. Oh, do it then, Lord, for thy name's sake. And wilt thou help us to bring thy word for a few moments in this afternoon. Take away everything that can be an hindrance, and that thou thyself would be in the midst of us to serve for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 230, stanzas 5 and 6. The Lord's salvation will appear to men of faith and godly fear. And glory in our land shall dwell when we shall heed God's precepts well. 5 and 6 of Psalter 230. Thank you. Beloved congregation, the Apostle Paul has written to the Hebrews that Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for us. What a blessed thing that was for Christ himself, that he may enter into heaven, that he may return into the blessed presence of his own Father once again in his glory, after his deep humiliation, after his suffering, and after his victory over death, over hell, and the grave. What a reunion that there was between the Father and the Son. When Christ came into this world, then we can read that there was joy. The angels did sing. What a singing and glorification of God must have taken place in the day that he entered once again to celebrate by beginnings that great victory. And when he may be crowned with that crown of great honor, that he may receive from his Father. I think that that was one of the reasons that the disciples have returned unto Jerusalem with great joy. Because that was not so nice, you would say, for those disciples that they would have to miss the Lord Jesus in his human nature. But now those disciples had love. Love for him, for who was their redeemer, who was their friend. And yet Paul, he says that he has entered into heaven. There, he says, to appear in the presence of God for us. That means that he did not come for himself, and neither did he return for himself. Thus we see, as the Apostle Paul says, that we love him because he first loved us. And what is now the fruit of that returning into that heavenly place? We see that in our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, Ephesians chapter 3, the 12th verse. Ephesians 3, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So far, the words of our text. Boldness and access by faith. First, in whom this boldness and access is. Thus we read, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Second, by whom this boldness and access is, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence, by the faith of him. Thus, boldness and access by faith, first in whom, and second, by whom there's boldness and access is. In whom we have boldness and access by faith. In whom? Who does that speak about? In whom? That speaks about God. Thus, Paul says, he speaks about having boldness and access in God or with God. That is now the purpose of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Often we hear the expression that the preaching that must be Christ-centered. There is a certain truth in this that is over against a preaching which is centered upon man. Then we understand how that expression is sometimes used. However, we must be careful, because Christ is in himself not the end. The Church of God did not leave Christ in paradise, but they have left God. That is, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Thus, the preaching of God's Word must be as God's Word is itself, that is centered on that triune God. That Christ has come as the mediator to bring that church, to merit for them a place again before his Father, and that Spirit of the Lord working in the heart of that people is leading them and bringing them back once again to that God whom they have left, whom they have lost. Thus we read, in whom, that is God, that is the triune God, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. What does that mean? That we have access. That word access means to bring toward. It is the act of motion, to move toward something, someone, that is to approach, to have access. Thus, it speaks here about access to God. Thus, it speaks about the relationship that is between a man and God, wherein a man may be acceptable unto God, that God may be favorably disposed unto such a man again. We read that Joseph said to his brethren that they should not see his face, except that Benjamin be with them. That is, that you shall have no access to me. You shall not approach unto me, neither shall you receive the benefits that are flowing out of my hand, except that Benjamin, your brother, be with you. No access. We read that David, he said to Joab, Absalom, he may return, but let him depart unto his own house, and let him not see my face. Thus, no access. No access to whom? No access to the king. No access to Joseph, the royal governor of Egypt. No access unto David, king of Israel. no access, Absalom, even unto your own father. Paul does not speak about an earthly king when he says, in whom? No, there he speaks about the heavenly king. Thus, what an unfathomable thing that it is that a man, a creature of the Lord, may even have access unto God. That is, unto that heavenly king. We read in the Bible that the ravens, they cry to God for their food. Children, the ravens, the little birds, they cry to God. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God hears them. God hears the birds, boys and girls. Would you cry to God too? If God hears the birds, do you not think that the Lord would also hear you if you would cry unto him? And he gives the birds their food. That is, they have access unto God. Is that not a great privilege for such a little bird? And yet those birds and all the animals, when they cry to God and they have access unto him, they do not have that same access that is possible for a human being. No, that is completely different. Why? Because a human being is made different. Because a human being has been made in the image of God, and a human being has capabilities which those birds do not have. You know, children, what the birds do not have, what do you have, and that the birds do not have. So the birds have life, they are alive, just like you are alive. What do the birds not have? You will say that the birds, they do not have a soul. That is right. What does that mean, that they do not have a soul? That means they do not have a mind that thinks, and they do not have a will, and that they do not have affections like you have affections, love to your parents and one another. Oh, sometimes it seems that they might have affections, a cat or a dog, and yet they do not. Not in the same sense as you do. They have only an instinct. Thus a human being, he is created so different than an animal. No, the human beings did not come from the animal. No, as the evolutionists want to say, these are completely different creatures of God. And they have been created very, very high. That is, created in a way that God himself can commune with them, that God himself can speak to them, even as a man speaketh unto his friend, that the Lord is able to delight himself in the communion which he may have with his creatures. Thus he may delight in the communion that he may have within himself between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But he may also delight in this creature that he has made, this man that he has made, he may delight in communing with him, that he may speak to him, that he may receive what is in the heart of a man, and that there may be a delighting in one another. And that is now what those animals do not have. Thus Paul says, in whom we have access. Did your soul ever long for this access? How do we go over this world? Because if we as a human being do not have this access with God, what do we have more than the animals? They have also life and breath. And they eat and they drink. Or we are by nature satisfied to be like an animal. We are by nature satisfied to be just like all the brute beasts. We ask the Lord, Lord, wilt thou feed me? Lord, wilt thou take care of me? And wilt thou give me what I need for this life? And you will know what we have no desire for. No desire for access. No desire for that communion with Him that He has created us in. And that He has created for a purpose, and that was His own delight. Thus we go over this world satisfied, delighting in ourselves, delighting in one another, delighting in all the goods that the Lord showers upon us in this world, delighting in sin, but no delight in God. No desire to approach unto Him and to come near unto Him, and that our soul may commune with Him, that we might know Him, in whom we have access. What did the Lord say to Solomon? He said, ask what I shall give thee. Solomon, he says, Lord, I have to rule this, thy so great a people. Give me a wise, give me an understanding heart that was pleasing to the Lord, that He may know how to guide His people. What will we say when the Lord would say to us, tell me, what wilt thou have? What would be our answer? Would our answer be pleasing unto the Lord? Would we say, O Lord, I have food, I have drink, I have clothing, I have shelter, I have children, I have family, there is love, O Lord. Could I have access? Could I have thee? Could I speak with thee? Could I have thy favor? Could I have what I have lost in that deep fall in paradise? Oh, may I have that blessed communion with the Lord. We read about Enoch, that he walked with God. Were you ever jealous of that man? That he may walk with God. We read also about Moses. The Lord spake to Moses as a man face to face. Were you ever jealous of Moses? You say, oh, if I could have now that portion, in whom we have access. in whom we have boldness and access. Thus, there is a second thing, boldness. What is boldness? Boldness is freedom in speaking, unreservedness in speech. That is, when we approach, that we are unreserved, that we have no fear of evil, no fear of rejection. We live in a world wherein boldness increases, great freedom of speaking. All parents, do we teach this to our children? May our children just say to us anything, in any way? May they say no? May they speak to us without fear of being punished, without fear of rejection? No, it begins as a child. How must a child speak unto father and mother? We do not say children must always be afraid, of course not. But how much freedom must they be given? Oh, children, young people, how much freedom do you have to speak to your mother and to your father? Do you speak boldly to your mother and to your father? How do you speak, young people, to your teacher at school? Do you speak to him boldly, without fear of punishment? That is evil. That is the day in which we live. Also, subjects to their rulers. How do we speak to our rulers? Do we speak boldly unto them without any fear? That is the world that we are living in. But there is more, because there is also a great boldness in speaking and approaching unto God. Just as if God is one of us, just in a very casual way, just as if a man, he is speaking just to his friend, completely unreserved. These pretend familiarity. Do these then get access? That is our question. What does Christ say? He says that there are many that will say unto me, Lord, Lord. And they will approach unto me unafraid. They will have no reservations about bringing to me all their good works, all the things that they have done. And they shall receive no access. I will say to them, depart from me. We read about the Pharisee, that he came very boldly unto the Lord. He was very confident. With all his works, he approached unto God, and he said, I thank thee that I am not like other men are. Question. Did that man receive access? Read in the Word of God that he did not. No, it was just the opposite. That man had no desire for access. Access is not what he sought. by Asaph. The Lord said unto his people, What hast thou to do to declare my statutes, and that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing, he says, that thou hatest instruction, and thou castest my words behind thee. Thus he says, you are so bold. Then you take my covenant in your mouth, and you plead my covenant. But there is no life of sanctification, and my instruction you have cast behind your back. This boldness, that is a fruit of unbelief, and it is a fruit of ignorance concerning who the true God is, but also who we are, who he is in his holiness, in his justice, in his majesty, and we have by nature no conception of this. We have our religion, sure, and we are very used to that. And we do that from our youth. And we have our doctrine and we have our truth. And we profess this, but we lack the knowledge of God by a true faith and the fear of God that stands in awe of God, because such a godly fear that is evident in our approach unto him. What did Abraham say when he approached unto God? Then he said, Behold, I have taken it upon me to speak unto thee, which am but dust and ashes. There was a great reverence. There was a great timidity. And that is now an approach that God's church is instructed in. It is an attitude which is instilled in God's children in that day of regeneration, the fear of God. It is a day, that day of regeneration, that all our unholy boldness is taken away, completely away. It was taken away in Saul of Tarsus on that day, on the day of his true conversion. Many times he stood there on the corner of the street, many times boldly pretending a familiarity with the God of his fathers and receiving no access. But it was changed. That was changed on the way to Damascus. And what changes then within such a person? What is causing such a change? Well, then they receive a sense. Then they receive a sense of the majesty of the Lord, of the greatness of the Lord, whom they are not able to stand before, whom they are not able to approach. Was Esther bold? When Mordecai said, You must go in unto the king, she says, I cannot go into the king. I have not been called in these 30 days. Oh, she was far from bold. And so that is also in that true church. Much less are they bold to approach unto the King of Kings. But there is also a second thing, and that is now a lively sense of guilt. Is a guilty man bold? Can you answer that question, young people? Children, if you are guilty and you feel your guilt, are you bold to go to stand and speak to Father, to Mother? Will you look them in the face? Or will your eyes go down to the ground? What does conviction of sin do to a person? Then it does not make him bold. What do we read of that publican? We read that the publican stood afar off. Why? He felt his guilt. Or he said, is there just a little corner still in this world, and especially in that house of the Lord, that I may still stand? Oh, what takes away our carnal boldness, that is when we feel the corruption, the pollutedness of our heart, like that woman whose blood issued forth from her, so that made her a polluted woman in that country. And she felt that pollution. Or was that woman bold? No, it is just the opposite. Because she had a desire that no one would know that she was there. What did Peter say? He said, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Did Peter want the Lord to depart? No. Peter saw a contrast between that holy Jesus and himself. And that did not make him bold. No. Then Peter had a forward character. But Peter himself is made timid. We read the Lord Jesus said to that centurion, I will come and I will heal thy servant. But did he say, oh Lord, no. No, 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 no. No, to come down to my house? That cannot be. And why not? Well, the Lord has given him views. Other persons did not receive those views. But he received views. Views of who Jesus was. Views of who he was himself. He saw that great contrast. He says, I am but a Gentile. I am but a heathen. I am but an outsider. Those are those views that the Spirit of the Lord is working in the life of his children, and those feelings of unworthiness. Oh, they do much to stamp out that carnal boldness that is living in our heart by nature. Peter, he was more educated. He was more upright. He was more conscientious than most persons that were all about him in his day. And yet he said, I am not worthy. I am not worthy to be called an apostle. Do you see what the Spirit of the Lord does? They are not just pious words of Paul. There are many of them in this world. But they are spoken by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And so at that entire church of God, oh, if we have never lost, if we have never been cured of our carnal boldness before God, then we are not one of his, then we do not know him, then we do not know ourselves. Then true faith has never been planted in our heart with that tender fear of God that humbles a man because of his sin, because of his guilt, because of his corruption, because of his unworthiness. But you say, how then do we explain these words then in our text? Does not this just say just the opposite? In whom we have boldness and access? No, it does not say the opposite. You say, that is mysterious. Yes, there are many things in which God's word is mysterious. Only ask the Lord's children about the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, how often will they say they do not understand? Those are mysteries. How the Lord, He is saving His children, a mystery. And we have also a mystery here. The mystery by which the wicked are rejected. When they are boldly approaching unto a holy God and are being rejected. And at the same time, a mystery of how that a poor sinner is boldly approaching unto the Lord, unto a holy God, and is being received by Him. But let us sing first. 138, the first stanza. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane and cast them from you. In disdain, the first of 138. Have spoken a few words about that woman who felt her pollution. That was the affliction that the Lord gave her to feel in her life. And that was an affliction by which she was so very deeply humiliated and intimidated, also before all the people. And yet, that woman did a very bold thing. You know what that was, children? You remember what that woman did? Oh, she came. She came behind in the press, and she touched the hem of the garment of Christ. That took very much courage. How did she dare to do it? Well, we will see that from the Word of God. Then we find the Lord Jesus turns, and he exposes her, which she did not desire. And then she came, and she told him all the truth and the cause wherefore she had touched him. The cause, the reason why she touched him. What kind of reason was that? Well, then we find out that that act of touching that hem of the garment, that was not a carnal act, but it was an act of faith by that polluted woman. Now, what does our text say? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Thus, it is a holy boldness that our text speaks of that is altogether different from that carnal boldness that is living in our heart by nature. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a boldness that acts by faith. And it acts upon the grounds of the worthiness, not of ourselves, but of another. What does our text say? It says, by the faith of him. Thus, it is a boldness that is casting itself upon the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. When there is no other hope and when there is no other expectation for that polluted woman. In the need of the soul, that is a holy boldness that goes in with Esther. She says, if I perish, I perish. Because if she goes not in, then she surely perishes. And so she lays herself completely in the hands, in the heart of that king, depending only on his good pleasure. Depending only upon his mercy and his grace, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. There is confidence in this act of faith. If there were no confidence, then it would not happen. Then it would not take place. Because there is great timidity. And why that timidity? Well, there is one law. Who approaches unto that king uncalled is to be put to death. Do that people know the law? Oh, they are well acquainted with the law. That law condemns that people. They cannot exist before that law of God. Oh, can we exist before the law of God? Access with confidence. How? By the faith of him. that faith that has never put that trembling sinner to shame. There was never a dog that desired to eat the crumbs of the master's table. Never a dog that desired those crumbs who was rejected by him. Access with confidence. Did that woman have confidence? She did. Otherwise, she had never kept on. In her timidity, she had never asked for a slice of bread. But in her boldness, she desired a crumb. Oh, by the revelation of the Son, faith apprehends something. When the Lord reveals himself, faith sees something. It sees the grounds upon which that the Father is able to accept a sinner. It sees it. It apprehends those grounds as certain grounds, sure grounds, when all the other grounds, they have fallen away. Faith acts because it sees evidence. That is the experience. It beholds, it sees. The soul is convinced, and therefore the soul acts. It acts despite sin. It acts despite guilt. It acts despite pollution, corruption. It acts despite unworthiness. It casts itself, not foolishly, not uncertainly, no, confidently, with confidence. How is it that Rahab, she hid those spies? How did she do this? What did she say? She said, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." I know it. So how did she know that? The Lord revealed it to her. That was not written anywhere. No, in our time it is different. We have that Word of God. And it is written in the Word of God. But the Lord, he has to show it unto us. And then we know. And through faith, saving faith that is acting confidently because it is acting upon a revealed knowledge that is objectively in the Word, but also subjectively within our heart. And that is why it never goes wrong. But saving faith, what is that? Is that just believing then with our mind? No. No. It is also an act of our will. Thus, it is not only to believe, but it is actually to embrace. Embrace. That means we have to have a new heart. That means that we have to have a renewed will. Our disposition has to be changed. Why? Because it considers faith, considers that object of faith not only to be true, but also to be desirable. That is the difference between historical faith and true saving faith. Historical faith, does it believe the truth? Does it believe the truth that the Lord Jesus has merited favor for a sinful man with God? Oh, yes. I think we all say that. Historical faith believes that. What is then the difference? Historical faith has no desire for access. They say it is true, but is not desirable. They do not desire access. Or they may desire other things in the church, honor in the church, to be numbered among God's people, to come to the Lord's Supper, to have an office in the church, and so on, but no desire for access. And therefore, it does not receive it. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Oh, that is an access that has been bought. That has been bought. Bought by Christ for his church. By his active obedience, by his passive obedience. There is no access to God without perfect holiness. No access. And there is no boldness without a full payment for our sin. No, there will be only timidity if there is a single sin that is left on our account in that great day of days. One sin. Thought, word, and deed. And then we will flee from him. But now in the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, something is made clear. In the exaltation of Christ, something is manifested. It is shown. It is displayed to that church of God. What is that? That is that the payment that is fully done. That is what is displayed. Otherwise, there could be no resurrection. Otherwise, there could be no exaltation. And now that is what faith sees. Faith may behold in the exaltation of Christ. Oh, that guilty, that filthy, that corrupt, and that unworthy people who would of themselves flee away, then they may behold when the Lord is opening and revealing a little of what that exaltation of Christ means. Oh, then they may see that the price is paid, and then they may receive boldness, even as a sinner, as a guilty sinner, to approach unto that throne of God, and to receive access. Do you think they are disappointed? No, they are not disappointed. If that people are disappointed, God is a liar. And all the promises of God's word are vain. But it is not so. No, there is no iniquity in him. What do we read of that publican? He went to his house justified. Justified. Rather than the other. When he stood afar off, when he trembled, when he smote upon his breast, and when he cried, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, justified. That means that all that righteousness that was accomplished by that Son of God, that was imputed by that judge unto that man, by a living faith, justified by God, means that every single one of his transgressions, they were cast behind the back of God into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Oh, that is an access that is received by poor sinners, that is greater than the access that Adam and Eve had in paradise. That is not just to return to that access. You say, oh, if I may only have what I lost, congregation, the Lord, he is giving to his church much more than we have lost in paradise. Who has greater access, a friend or a wife? You say a wife, that is right. But now by that first covenant, the highest man could come was to be made a friend of God by perfect obedience. But now that second covenant, the covenant of free and sovereign grace, he now becomes his bride. And what does that bride say? He brought me into his chambers. His chambers. And what happens in those chambers? There he reveals to her the secrets that are living in his heart. There he communes with her. There he gives her access. There he speaks to her. There he says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." There in those chambers, there he says, "Thou shalt eat bread continually at my table, even though thou art lame on both thy feet." Then they may eat, and they may drink, and they may have a blessed communion. Oh, it begins. It begins by moments in those chambers, but it is bound. Oh, it is set by him to increase, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Oh, how the church longs for this access unto that triune God. Does that take place sometimes? Yes. Is that every day? No. What does Job say? "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even before his seat." Oh, how David, he longed for this. He said, "My soul thirsteth for God, yea, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" But soon it is going to be fulfilled according to their desires. Do you know what the Bible says? According to his desires. They are desires of the bridegroom who has prayed unto his Father, "Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." Do you know what John says? He says they shall have boldness in the day of judgment. when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There they shall have boldness that the world shall not know. And when they are crying, to the mountains fall on us, and to the hills cover us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. And to the church he says, look up, for the day of your redemption draweth nigh, and you shall have boldness in that day of judgment. Why? Because they are fully acquitted, as if they had never committed a single sin. There is not a single sin in thought, word, and deed that is any more written on the account of that people. Boldness in the day of judgment. And then they shall receive access when they shall see him in a blessed state of his exaltation. And when he will speak to them, and when he will say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then the Lamb shall lead them unto those living fountains of waters. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, what thou hast laid away for thy dear children, for thy trembling children, oh, and that cannot be entered into, oh, give them to see a little, that it may draw them again, for this world draws them so much, and they go over this world so often, and with a mourning heart, so encumbered with earthliness, oh, give them to look up a little, that they might see a little of that faith that thou hast indeed by thy Spirit given unto them, that they might see that indeed they have seen, and those that have seen, they are given more sight, because to him that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. Oh, that thou mayst draw thy people, those little ones especially, give to them those desires, the hungers again, that may go out after thee, thy children, each and every one of them where they are in their places. Oh, that the sparks may once again be fanned into a flame, and that the love of thee may burn in their hearts. Lord, draw us. We will run after thee. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive and take away all of our many sins. Give meditation upon thy word of truth. Bring it where we are not able. Help us in our consistory meeting tomorrow evening. Give us wisdom and help each one in the place that we have in this world, and the children, the teachers of our school. Wilt thou strengthen and encourage, and could it please thee to remove yet the heaviness of all that thou hast laid upon us, that we may be delivered therefrom, and that we also may have received a little profit of it, and for our own souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 73, the fifth stanza. My heart had failed in fear and woe, unless in God I had believed, assured that he would mercy show, and that my life his grace should know. Nor was my hope deceived. The fifth of Psalter 73. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless him.